We reap what we sow. I'm going to give you a sheet of paper. This is not your typical message. You can write what you want on it, or you can make an airplane and shoot it into the parking lot as long as you pick up after yourself. Whatever you decide to do with it, it is up to you. But I'm going to give you four principles I'm not going to share again. I'm sharing them once. I may allude to them again. I'm going to give you four principles that will change your life if you follow these. It came to me last week in the car. I told my wife, and please pray for her. She is sick this morning. She went to New England, and it must have affected her sinuses with 0 degrees weather up there. So I'm going to give you principles that are broad-based but narrow in their application. So what I want you to do is begin with me this morning by taking your Bible and turn to Isaiah 55. Isaiah chapter 55. And I want you to see something. There is a principle here. In Isaiah chapter 55, beginning there in verse 9. And listen, if you're here this morning and you're not a believer, you were dragged to church, these principles are going to apply to you. Matthew 5:45, the rain falls on the just and it falls on the unjust, on the good and the bad. And the principle is this: what you sow, you will reap. I want you to watch this. Isaiah 55 and verse 8. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. And then the Lord alludes to his power. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. In other words, you and I sometimes are not on the same plane. My thoughts are high above your thoughts, and my ways are past understanding. And then here's the principle. As the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return to it without watering the earth and making it bud and flourish, the water sows, there's a harvest, so that it yields seed for the sower and bread for the eater. Now listen to this. So is my word that goes out from my mouth. It will not return to me what? What does your Bible say? Void or empty. But it will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purpose for which I sent it. Now, here's a principle. If you're good, bad, or ugly, you're going to sow something. You're sowing something now. There's no such thing as somebody telling you, I don't sow. You know, I'm not a believer. That's believer's term. No. Whether you are a believer or not, you sow, because these are universal principles. Let me give you an application. If I take this and I drop it, what's going to happen to it? That's a universal principle. Watch again. What happens? I didn't hurt it, by the way. It drops. That's the law of what? Okay, that's the law. It's universal. Take a person who owns a company. He makes billions of dollars, and he sees the need in our world, such as Bill Gates, sees the need, and he begins to start a philanthropic organization, and he sends out millions of dollars to those in need. And you might say, well, he's got billions, he ought to send out millions. You missed this. To whom much is given, much is required, but God still requires of you. My brother, before my aunt died, built her a house. And I'm thinking to myself, well, if I had your money, I'd build her a house too. That's my human thinking. David built her a house. He asked her before she died, Carrie, what was you like? Carrie had gone from 160 to 110, 105, skin and bone, long, long fingers with fingernails that long, half inch long. She said, I'd like a house, David. I've never had a house. My brother took his crew. He owns all these garages, but he has a construction crew too, and he took them all up there, and they dug the cellar hole, and they built her a home. David's not a Seventh-day Adventist. He's not even a believer. And he built her a home. And here I am sitting days before she died with her in her living room. And I'm saying to her, Carrie, how do you view this? She said, oh, I'm so happy that your brother was moved to do this. And I looked and here's my brother. He's holding her hand. He's not even a believer. He's holding her hand. And I said, David, whatsoever a man soweth, that also shall he reap. God is going to bless you. God has blessed me. Bought two more garages. There is a principle in this world that many Seventh-day Adventists and many believers have never caught. You reap what you sow. If you are bitter, you're going to reap that. If you are better, you're going to reap that. You reap what you sow. These principles I'm going to give you, I want you to write down. I'm going to give you an action word for each one of these. I really believe you're going to appreciate. Okay, you reap when you sow. You reap when you sow. I had if you sow. No, that's not true because everybody sows. Everybody sows. You don't have to be a believer to sow. Everybody sows. I was watching what's happening in Roseburg. Do you know there are people that feed the hungry? I don't go down and feed the hungry. How many of you go down and stand on the corner and feed the hungry? Come on, raise your hand. Somebody's feeding them. Some of those people that are feeding the hungry aren't even Christian. Well, why do they do it? Because God has planted in their hearts this concept of sowing. I have this, I need to give it away. If you could only catch this concept of giving away, are you with me? Does anybody have a $20 bill? Would you give it, lend it to me? Not give it, but lend it. I want you to catch this. And you might say, well, I'm not going to do that. There's a $20 bill. You see it? Now, there are some here that $20 is a lot of money. I want to challenge you. Let's suppose you said right now, Mike, that's not mine. That's seed money. That's not mine. And you prayed about it, and you said to God, I want to check this out. I'm going to start praying where you want me to sow it. You're driving down the highway, and a dear lady's pulled off the side of the road, and you stop, and she said, I'm out of gas, and I haven't got any money. And you say, I can give you gas money. I'm going to sow it. Or you heard about Sister So-and-so has five children, and some wonder that she even survives, and you've come to the conclusion you need to help her, so you take a bag of groceries over, say, cost $20, and then, that's only part of this, then you say to God, God, I want you to show me how I reap when I sow, and I'm going to tell you something, you will be amazed at what God will do. So I want to challenge you this week. How many of you would be willing to sow $20 this week? Stand up. I'm going to sow $20 this week. I don't know what you're going to do with it. I want you to pray this morning. I'm going to put aside $20 that does not belong to me. That money is sacred. If you declare it, say, that's God's. I'm going to sow it. How many of you would be willing to do $10? I don't want your money. I'm going to sow it. You can sit down. You just said before the Lord God of heaven, I'm going to sow this. Now, you know what I want to do next week? I don't want to preach as much as I want to hear what God's done in your life by sowing. Now, let me turn things a little bit differently. How many of you are young enough you can help? You haven't got any money, but you can use your hands. Raise your hands. I'm willing to sow. I'm going to sow this week. And you're going to pray, God, I want you to show me what you want me to do. Because you were born in this world, created in this world with a plan in mind. Long before your life ever turned 40, 50, or 60, God knew what you were going to do. Say amen to that. And he planned your life. And if you spend your life sowing all you have to buy for you, you've missed the principle. You know why people are wealthy out there, some of them? Because they found the principle. You say, you mean God gives wicked people money? You bet your life he does, because they follow the principle. If you sow, you reap. Colgate Manufacturing Company is huge today. And years ago, Colgate said, I'm going to give 10% to the Lord. I'm just going to give it. Well, the Board of Trustees did not appreciate that. He raised it up before he died to 25%. And he said, I will give him if he kills me. And he kept giving more, and he kept receiving more. The reason why we don't have anything in our life is we don't give away. We take in. And if you do that, you become a dead pool. Every spring gives away. You know I love animals. I love birds. The thing that makes me so blasted, man, is that I feed these little birds and the squirrels come. And I see these little varmints, and I get so upset with them. And my wife said, well, they've got to eat too, you know. And I had this beautiful birdhouse. Luke, this is good, you know, beautiful birdhouse. This morning I look out, and here he is, this big old gray squirrel, in the birdhouse just looking at me, eating the sunflower seeds. Thank you. And he's eating these, and he's just kind of smiling at me. I put all kinds of coat hangers and everything. Because people told me, if you put coat hangers, it'll keep them awake. Now, they don't even care about that. They want the sunflower seeds. My wife said, you sowed. They're reaping. I'm going to give you these principles first, and then I'm going to touch some scriptures on it. You reap what you sow. And I'll explain that further. You reap more than you sow, more than we sow. You reap later than when you sow. That's the interval. Let me back up and give it to you again so you can write this down. Put it in iron because it's a principle of heaven. You reap when you sow. And you say, well, I'm not sowing. You're sowing anyway, so you're reaping. Some of you have reaped destroyed families, destroyed relationships. You know why? Because bitterness has been allowed to run rampant in your life. You've condemned people publicly among the children. The children have heard and said, I don't want any part of that church. So you've sowed. You can re-sow, but it's going to take some time. And secondly, you reap what you sow. Number three, you reap more than you sow, and I'll explain it. And number four, later than when you sow. Okay, we reap when we sow. Take your Bible, turn to Galatians 6. Galatians chapter 6. I love the book of Galatians. I was sharing with Sister Hong this morning a couple of scriptures. Galatians chapter 6, beginning there in verse 7. I want to give you these principles so you can see them from the Word of God, and it's not Rocky Gale simply sharing something with you. If you will catch these, you will not have to worry about your bread. You will not have to worry about your clothing. God will take care of you. He will. But if you are selfish and self-centered, you will reap as well, as we will see in a few moments. Galatians chapter 6, 7 through 9 is very, very important. Do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what? What he sows. There's my principle. The one who sows to please his sinful nature, from that nature will reap destruction. He's covering both sides. Doesn't make any difference. The man who sows to himself will reap to himself. The one who sows to please the Holy Spirit, from the Spirit, he will reap eternal life. And look at verse 9. Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time, there's that interval, we will reap a harvest if we do not what? Give up. Job 4:8 says this, I have observed those who plow evil and those who sow trouble will what? Plow and sowing are kind of synonymous. When you plow a field, you sow. My grandfather used to sow potatoes. How many of you have ever planted potatoes, the little eyes of potatoes? And I hated it. Number one, the ground wasn't very good. It didn't yield very easily. There were stones everywhere. And Grandpa said, make sure the eye is looking up. And I planted these potatoes. But I noticed something. I went up there. After a week or two, I started seeing a little shoot. Now, if I'd gone back in a half an hour and said, and I'm going to talk to you when I talk about the interval, I failed. Look at the seed, it's doing nothing. That's not true. Sow for yourself righteousness, reap the fruit of unfailing love. Break up your unplowed ground, for it is time to seek the Lord until he comes. Now is the time, say amen to that. To seek the Lord, but you have planted wickedness and you reaped evil. If you sow, you reap. When you sow, you reap. It is a universal law. Cannot be changed. It's universal. God cannot alter his law. If the wicked sow good things, they reap good things. The unbeliever gives to the poor. God gives back. Do you know there are good people in this world who are not believers? Raise your hand if you know that. You know what they think? Why should I be a believer and be miserable like you? Because you know what happens often in the church? People become cynical. Or they become segregationist. Well, that's them. We don't do that because that's them. And you know, I've met unbelievers who were so good. I said, oh man alive, they put many a believer I know to shame. They were good people. How many of you know that? Sure, raise your hand. I mean, good people. My brother's a prime example. You know what they think? Why should I be a believer? I'm good now. Well, the problem is God's not saving good people. Now, I'm talking about the harvest principle. God is not saving good people. He's saving people. He makes them good. The key word here is investment. How much are you willing to invest? I talked to you about $20. You've raised your hand. I do not know who you are, but the Holy Spirit does. Remember Ananias and Sapphira. You have covenanted that money to God. It no longer belongs to you. Now you have to pray how to sow it. Who am I going to sow it with? Every Friday night when I was a young man in church, my wife and I first got married, Roy Cox would come over. He lives now in Day's Creek. And he used to come over, and that's when we lived in New England. And he would say, come on, we're going out. It was Friday night. I said, what are we going to do? He said, we're going to give $20 bills away for $1. I said, you're joking. And we met this woman at a gas station. He drove his car, and he said, ma'am, do you have a dollar bill I could borrow? She said, yes. She pulled out a dollar, and he gave her 20. She said, "Sir, what's this?" He said, "I just want to help you." She said, "Nobody's ever done that. Nobody's ever done that." That's like going through Arby's and saying to the girl, "The next five cars back, I'm paying for. Keep the tab, I'm coming inside." You see what I'm saying? There's a principle. Investment. How much are you willing to invest? Sow for yourself righteousness, reap the fruit of unfailing love. We reap what we sow. He who sows to his flesh will reap of his flesh corruption, but he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life. And the word is identity, investment, and secondly, identity. Identity. We reap more than we sow. If you plant a kernel of corn, how much are you expecting to receive a kernel back? Wouldn't you be upset if you planted one kernel of corn and you went out and that's all you saw was one little kernel of corn? Who would do that? You remember Jesus talked about talents, did he not? What did he say? He said the one man did what with his talent? He hid it. He said, "I knew you were a harsh master, so I hid the talent. I didn't plant it." The Lord said, "Why didn't you go ahead and at least give it to a bank where I get interest?" You didn't. You hid it. So we receive more than we sow. Turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 9 just for a moment. This is a beautiful scripture. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, 8 and 9. Listen to this principle. "And God is able to make grace abound to you, so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. As it is written, he who scatters abroad his gifts to the poor, his righteousness endures forever." And then verse 10, I'm going to include that. "He supplies seed to the sower and bread for the food. He will also supply," and what? What's the next word? "Increase your store of seed and will enlarge the harvest of your righteousness." So you're always going to receive back more than you give. Always. That's the principle. Okay, what's principle number one so far? When we sow, we reap what we sow, right? If I sow for corn, let me ask you this. Am I going to have beans? No. If I sow for beans, I won't have corn. Let's make it really practical. Let's suppose I go out here and I say, "I want to insult as many people as I can today." You're going to reap from that. Well, what about picking people out and say, "You know, I want you, Lord, to show me people that need help and I want to help them." And you get close to them and you start minister to them. And then the Holy Spirit says, "You know, they really need help here." And you say to yourself, "Yeah, but that's going to cost." When you sow, it costs. It's not free. See, your life has been sown through the gospel. You are God's seed. Would you say amen? You are the seed of God, spread abroad to make a difference. Why is it we don't receive more in the church? I mean, the Adventist church is one of the wealthiest churches in the world. But you know something? A good portion of our people did not return to the Lord. You know why? They've never caught the principle. What you sow, you reap. And you think of yourself, "Well, that's my money." No, it is not your money. God gives the health to earn the wealth. And 10% of it is not yours. Would you say amen to that? It's not mine. It belongs to God. Now, that's just money. But what about myself? My labor? Well, I'm God's. I'm God's hands. I'm God's feet. His ears. His eyes. His heart. I read about a little girl with cancer. She's only 8 or 9. She's dying of cancer. And there's no way she's going to live unless a miracle happens. And I'm thinking, "Oh, Lord, I sure would like to touch her and ask you to just heal her, this little girl." And my heart went out to this family. I really believe the ones that are going to walk streets of gold are going to be those who sow righteousness. They're going to be full of love. You're going to be contagious. You know why? The gospel explodes in your life. When you meet Jesus, you're never the same again. Amen? You're not. You're loving. You're kind. You're sweet. Yes, you're sweet. And you don't give a piece of your mind to everybody that comes along. You don't get insulted easily. You're not easily disturbed. You have your eyes on the prize. So you always receive back more. If you give a little, you're going to receive more. I said to my brother, "You've learned the principle." He said, "What's that?" I said, "You keep giving, David, and it keeps coming back." In this recession, he's still one of the wealthiest guys in New Hampshire. In this recession. And he's selling cars. You'd be amazed. Mama used to pray for him. You know what I said? "Oh, forgive me, Jesus." I said, "Mama, you're praying for David's business. David doesn't even follow the Lord." She said, "Honey, this is your brother. We've got to pray that God will bless him." I needed forgiveness. And I began to pray for David too. Mama's gone and I'm praying for David. Lord, bless David. Well, he's sure blessing him. And you know why? Because David's sowing the principles. He knows what to do. And you know what God's going to do through him? He's going to bless me. See, if you catch this, I'm telling you, you're going to be amazed. I'm going to tell you something that's going to blow your socks off. We were in Lake Havasu, and we couldn't find a house. Pastors don't have much money, and I don't have much retirement, so I'm never going to have much in the future, live from check to check. But this is good. I needed a house. I needed a piece of land. We went everywhere and never found a house. Phone rang one day. Here's a guy. He's an unbeliever. I'm giving him Bible studies. He said, Rocky. I said, yes. He said, my wife and I want to meet with you tomorrow on Sunday. I said, what for? He said, we'll talk about it tomorrow. So we meet, drive up to his home. We get in his Chevrolet Suburban, and we're driving around. He said, do you like that piece of property? He shows me a piece of property, and I said, nice, isn't it? He said, well, do you like it? He said, well, don't make up your mind right now. So he drives to another piece of property. Do you like this one? Bob, I can't afford this. He said, did I ask you if you could afford it? I said, no. He said, I asked you one thing. What was it? Do you like this piece of property? He said, do you like this? I said, I like this. He said, good. That's all I wanted to know. I didn't hear anything more. A couple of days later, the phone rang again. He said, I'm down to the bank. Come on down. I said, what would you like? You know, have you met somebody you want me to study with? No. It's entirely different. He said, it's business. So I drove down to the bank and he said, sign here. I said, what's this? He said, it's the title of that property. He said, I'm giving it to you. So he gave it to me. I started to cry. I said, you can't do this, Bob. He said, what do you mean I can't do this? I own 40 pieces of property here. I can do whatever I want to do. It's my money. And you know what I thought? When you're faithful to God, God touches the hearts of the Gentiles and like the Israelites, and the property comes in. And God knows what you need. Say amen. You think God cannot meet your needs? He will meet all your needs in Christ Jesus. The problem is we are nearsighted. You know why God's blessed you and Chantel so much? Because you've sowed. You caught the principle. Same thing with your mom and dad. Caught the principle. Mark, on and on. I could go on and on with people here. Caught the principle. You reap more than you sow. And the word, the key word here is faithfulness. Write it down. I'm going to ask you some things when I'm done this so that you can answer me, okay? Faithfulness. Number four, we reap later than we sow. Matthew 19. I want you to turn there, if you would, to Matthew 19, 28 through 30. And there are so many scriptures, my precious friends, that it would take us forever for you to see them all. This is so good. Oh, my, what a wonderful Savior. Would you say amen? Oh, Jesus is so good. And we're going home, brothers and sisters. You and I are going to see Christ. Raise your hands. Say, I want to see Jesus. Amen? We're going to see him. You will be there. I know you will. You're going to be there when Jesus comes. Now, listen to this. I'll back up a little because a question was asked by Peter. Peter said, we have left, in verse 27, everything to follow you. What then will there be for what? Us. Matthew 19, 27. What are we going to get out of this? We've left everything. And listen to what the Lord says. I tell you the truth, at the renewal of all things, when the Son of Man sets on his glorious throne, you who have followed me will sit on 12 thrones. Oh, my. You think Solomon's throne was beautiful? You ain't seen nothing yet. You will sit on 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. You know why? Because the New Testament sets in judgment over the Old in this sense. It interprets the Old Testament through the light of Christ. You know, listen to this. And everyone who has left houses or brothers or sisters or father or mother or children or fields for my sake will receive 100-fold as much and will inherit eternal life. But many who are first will be what? Last. And the last shall be first. You know what that is? Listen to this. They will receive 100 times, 10,000 times, $10,000 for a dollar. You do the math. I'll let you figure it out when you get home. The Lord says to you and me, I'm not only going to give you eternal life. I mean, if that were not enough, I am going to bless you here. I will bless you here if you sow. How many of you remember the woman who came to Jesus and anointed him? We all know that story, do we not? What's the first thing she did? What'd she do? Yes. Mm-hmm. Then what'd she do? Yes. And she did something. What'd she pour over him? Perfume from the highest mountains. And if you look that up literally in the Greek and the Old Testament as well, It was a flask, and the only way to have the ointment or this beautiful fragrant serum come out was to break the flask. So she had to be broken in order to be healed. So she was broken before the Savior, and her life was poured out. You know that song, Poured Out? Oh, my. When you sow with your whole heart, you pour out your life to Christ. You pour it out. You say, I'm here for the King of the Kingdom. You know, Lord, I need help. And he says, well, I'm not going to give it to you now. I'm going to give it later than you think, but it's going to come. How many of you have had prayers that are answered now that you prayed 2 years ago? Raise your hand. You know what it's like? You pray and you pray and you pray and it doesn't happen. And all of a sudden, it does. It's like me in that land. I prayed. Oh, man, did I pray for a year. Nothing. Zip. I almost bought a house and we couldn't afford it. Didn't work. The Lord said, no, you're not going to have that. No, I'm going to give you a piece of land. Do I dare tell you another one? I will. I was pastoring in Brandon, Florida. And this is not because of me. I want you to know this. It's the principal soul reap. And Chris Fogo, that's his name, had a nursery in Ruskin, Florida. And he said, Rocky, do you think you could come down and preach to our Spanish folk on Sabbath morning? Well, Ruskin and Brandon are about 35 miles. It's a long haul down there. I'd have to get up at 6 o'clock, get down there, preach to them at 8, and then come all the way back to Brandon Church and preach to them. And I said, I'd love to. Well, he had all these Spanish folk, these Mexicans that were working in the fields for him in a little 12 by 60 trailer. And he had me with a little pulpit up front. And this little 16-year-old girl is interpreting. And I said, Jesus is coming again. Jesus, and she went on. And so it took me about 40 minutes to get a sermon done. And one day I said to Chris, I've got to run back. This was after almost a year. He said, what do you mean? Aren't you going to meet Chris at the church up there? I said, no, we only have one car. I have to go back and get Christine. But I said, I've enjoyed this so much. Listen, a week later, the Buick garage calls. Is this Rocky Gale? Yes. Well, we have a car for you. It's all titled in your name, and it's yours. I said, I didn't buy a car. He said, you didn't buy a car? I said, no, I didn't buy a car. He said, well, it's yours. It was a little Toyota Tercel. Yeah, it had 25,000 miles on it. I went over, and here's this little blue Toyota. I said, Chris, forgot. So I called him. I said, did you buy that car? He said, I'll never tell. I said, why did you do? You can't do that. He said, I can do anything I want to do. And he said, you know something, Rocky? God moves upon people when they see other people giving their best. Did you get that principle? There are people watching you. There are people looking at you. I'm not telling you you're going to be a millionaire, but I can tell you one thing right now. Look at me. Listen to this. You better be faithful in that which is little. And if you are, God will make you ruler over that which is much. Do you agree with that? And the key word is abundance. Abundance. All right, now I want to ask you what I told you. What did I tell you? What's the first principle? We reap when we sow. What's the key word? Investment. You have to invest. Secondly, we reap what you sow. You sow righteousness, you reap righteousness. You sow kindness, you reap kindness. You sow bitterness, you reap bitterness. You sow gossip, you're going to reap gossip. And the key word? Identity. You're identified with what you sow. Do you see that? Do you know so-and-so? Oh, yeah, I know him. Do you know her? Oh, yes. Well, they've already sowed and they don't realize it, but their sowing has already gone out there. Okay, number three. You reap more than you sow. More than you sow. And what's the key word? Faithfulness. He that is faithful in that which is least, I'll make him ruler over that which is much. Faithful in little, much. I plant a seed, I receive a harvest. I plant kindness, I receive a harvest. I plant this, I receive a harvest. God will do this for you. It's a principle. He can't not. He has to honor his principle. You say, well, I've been praying for years. Well, maybe you need to reevaluate your lifestyle and your attitude toward God, because maybe, just maybe, the church is the testing ground for your reaping and sowing. If you're not going to be faithful around those who are faithful, how are you going to be faithful among the unbelievers out there? And what's the fourth one? Later than I sow. Like I said, what if I brought home a kernel of corn and I said, this is so good, I'm going to put a little safety pin in it and I'm going to pin it on the wall and every day I'll look at that seed and its potential. Isn't that wonderful? Look at that. See that seed of corn up there? Look what it could do, and I never plant it. Never plant it, but I look at it. Oh, you know what happens at board meetings? We ought to do this. We ought to do that. Are you doing it? No. We should go ahead and do something small. You know what I think would be small, but great? Tell others. about the love of Jesus. Start living the love of Christ and the happiness of the Lord. How many of you would say amen to that? Take that sour lemon look off your face and begin to see life differently. Chuck Swindoll tells this story. Oh, by the way, what's the fourth keyword? Abundance. Chuck Swindoll says this. He came into his office in California before he moved to Texas years ago. He is one of my favorite preachers. I like Chuck Swindoll. I don't agree with all his theology, but he's a good man. He said he came in and he stopped dead because there in the middle of his office, he saw a casket with faded flowers with the words on the side, me. And he looked at the casket. What is this? And he walked to the side and he looked at it. Yeah, sure enough, it's a real casket. And he walked to the other side and he looked. The other handles. So he walked closer and closer. Then he realized maybe this is a prank. So he began to pinch himself. Yeah, I'm here. I'm here. I'm not there. And then it dawned on him that one of his best friends had slipped a coffin in to play a prank on him. Well, it wasn't a good prank, but you know what he said after that? After that, I asked myself one question. Am I dead to the world and alive in Christ? Who am I? Have I really sown for Christ? Because what if this afternoon the word comes, so-and-so died, they had a car crash, they're gone, or they had a heart attack? This could be your last day. You don't know that. I don't know that. So I want to tell Jesus right now, I'm going to sow righteousness. How many of you would stand with me and say, let's sow righteousness? Let's stand. Our Heavenly Father, you have instituted a principle. All heaven is based upon this principle. Satan reaped what he sowed in heaven. Whatever we sow, we will reap. We reap more than we sow. It may be one unkind word, but we can destroy a relationship with one unkind word. We reap more than we sow. And sometimes, Lord, we don't see the effect of what we've sown for a long time, and then it comes back to us. May we look at our lives today and say, from now on, dear God, we are determined to sow Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior and live for Him. And let others look at our lives and say, you know, those people love Christ. We pray this in Jesus' name. And the whole church said, amen. Now, you who said, I'm going to commit $20, I'm going to ask you next week what you did. And I want to know how God answered. Those of you who said, I'm going to give my hands, I want to know how God answered. So we may have a different kind of a sermon next week. I want to know if these principles work the way I know they should work. How many of you would say amen to that? Okay, God bless you for coming.